Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki. I am sitting here with Mr. Matt Stewart.
Hey, Dave. What a pleasure to be here.
Great.
That's my number one point.
Perfect.
My number two point is you're looking really good today.
Thank you. Right back at you across the table.
That is very sweet of you to say.
All right. I'm going to introduce another person now. Hopefully, they'll give me another compliment. It is Jess Perkins. Hello, Jess.
Hi, Dave.
Hello. And do you have anything to say to me?
Nah.
Hey, Jess.
No, I love your jumper and I love your big blue eyes and I just love you to pieces. You're just the best. Oh, Dave, you're so cute. I love your squishy little cheeks.
She is squishing my cheeks.
His bum cheeks.
Oh, cup those tiny cheeks.
That's so creepy. Anybody have any compliments for me? It's weird if you ask for them. Don't give them to me now.
It's weird.
It's fine. Hi, Matt.
Cup my tiny cheeks. Ugh. That was a weird moment.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
What have you guys been doing today?
Cup and cheeks, mainly.
Oh, mainly cup and cheeks. I had Cocoa Pops for breakfast for the first time in a long time.
That's great.
I already regret asking the question.
I had a banana because
Bloody da.
Yeah, it's pretty fancy. And then a donut. It's been a good day.
Oh, that is a good day.
And how about you?
Banana
what
through
you,
the
what
donut
you...
hole.
Yeah.
Sorry. You gave me two things and my Tetris brain wanted to like slot them together. No, that's not any better.
Is that a Tetris brain or a sexual brain?
Sextrous brain.
Sextrous.
Yeah.
You are ambisextrous.
I'm ambisextrous.
Matthew, what did you have for breakfast? Come on. It's a leading question.
This is what I do. I've got a bunch of different cereals. So I go a little layer of rolled oats, then I go a layer of bran sticks. What do you call those bran stick guys?
All bran.
All bran sort of sticks, yeah. And then a layer of rice puffs, and then a layer of cornflakes.
Wowzers.
Wow.
And then
are you also the one who does
milk through it?
Two types of milk though? Was that you?
Two types of milk.
I haven't heard that. What do you mean?
I mix rice milk and soy milk together. Rice is a bit sweet, soy is a bit tart, thicker. Rice is a bit thin. Like mix them together and it's a delicious
rice milk
concoction.
And your cereal with the layers, does it stay in layers?
Yeah, it's kind of like a parfait or a trifle. Breakfast trifle.
Like a breakfast lasagna.
Yeah, breakfast lasagna. That's it.
Oh, wow. That's actually amazing.
It's really good.
It's very complicated.
And is it equal parts of every cereal?
Equal parts.
Where do you have time? I don't have time for breakfast, hence I eat a banana as I run for the train.
Well, you had time to get to the donut shop, Jess.
Yeah, between trains. Connecting trains. Had donut time. I needed coffee. You should be grateful I had coffee.
I'm very grateful.
I am also grateful.
I could use a coffee.
Oh, well, instead...
Well, that's right. If you get through your report, your reward is a coffee. All right. Okay. Now, so that, what we're going to do is Matt's going to give us a report on a topic that Jess and I have no idea what it's going to be.
Mm.
I am interested. And Matt, I believe last week you said that you were going to pull this one from the listener suggestion... The listener suggestions from the hat, as we keep calling it.
I have pulled it from the hat.
And do you do it at random?
Yeah, it's random from the hat. I mean, you don't. There's no hat system.
No, but I thought you might like pick and choose from the hat.
Yeah,
no,
you might see the list and go, yeah, I want to do that one.
Well, I think that would be disingenuous to the hat. I think the hat deserves better than that. I think everyone goes in equal. They all come out equal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's an egalitarian hat. And I'm wearing it right now.
It's a nice
hat. I wear it around. I've always got ideas.
It's quite a sharp hat.
Under my hat.
Well, very good.
Do little bits of paper just fall out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Then I have to put them back in. That's okay.
So you're about to make the dreams of one listener come true, possibly at the expense of every other listener, but that's okay. We always start with a question. What is your question?
My question is, what virus was feared to be the most deadly in the 1900s?
Oh, virus. 1900s, so not 1980, so not...
The 20th century.
Not AIDS or HIV?
No, not AIDS. Or that would have been up there. And, I mean, you know, my question isn't based on anything, but...
Any factual, that's fine. Jess, any viruses?
But that was a very good guess, Dave.
What about malaria? I'll have another go. Malaria?
No, it's not malaria.
Yellow fever? Black fever?
Man flu?
Man flu, that's my most hated, but no, it's not that one.
Dengue
your
fever?
Most hated.
That's my... If I was going to get any of the above, that'd be the bottom of the list, man flu.
Ooh.
Cancer?
Sorry.
Is that a virus?
It doesn't sound like a fun topic either.
People are terrified. I know, history of cancer.
Today I'm going to talk cancer. Hope you got some zingers.
All right, Oprah. You get some cancer.
So
you get some cancer.
1900s.
Everybody gets cancer.
Look, I want to laugh, but also I don't want to approve that comment.
You can laugh at my Oprah impression.
That's what I'm laughing at.
not everybody getting cancer. That's not funny. Virus.
Matt, give us a clue.
Oh.
It's not... Okay. What you...
I was going to say, is it Y2K?
It is Y2K.
Yeah! Oh, see...
I was going to say, you're going to have to think outside of the box.
I was thinking Y2K, but then I thought, but 1900s, that makes me think early 1900s
Perkins,
for some reason.
Perkins.
Well,
Perkins. Fuck you, Dave.
So would
fuck
you say that...
Dave.
Technically, I am, but I was born in 1990. Am I a child of the 1900s?
Yes.
Hooray!
So you were born... You were a child in the 1900s.
I was, but fair enough.
You were 10.
You can't argue, mate.
I would say the 1900s. You would associate with pre-World War One, is what I imagine. But that's fine. No, it was very good. I'm excited for this topic.
Good one.
Y2K.
So this was tweeted into us, this one, by a man named Marcus.
Hello, Marcus.
Hi, Marcus.
Thanks so much for the suggestion. A very good suggestion.
Yeah, it is. It's
well, let's wait and see how Matt's report goes.
Yeah.
I'm saying the suggestion was good.
Great.
The report... I'm sorry, Marcus. I probably haven't... As is my want, it is probably a little underdone, but it's a very interesting topic, probably.
Okay. Well, I mean, prove it.
Okay. So so it's like most commonly known, I think, to me as the Y2K bug, but it had a bunch of other names. It was also known as
Millennium bug.
Millennium
is the other
bug is another big one. It's also called the Year 2000 bug, which is where Y2K comes from. Y is for year.
Two
is for
two.
Two. And K is for thousand. And also, this one, which came up a lot in my reading, but I don't remember ever hearing it, was called, a lot less catchy, the Year 2000 Problem.
Not as good. Bug is good.
Yeah, I like bug.
Yeah.
But I also just imagine like a little beetle. Just a little beetle running around. Everyone's like, oh, no! It's just a little beetle.
That's not a problem.
He's all right.
My
like
oldest,
a little ladybug.
My older sister was in Year 12. In 99, I think, or 2000. And she, so her, you know, mock-up day, they'd often have dress-up themes at
yeah, sure.
Some schools. We certainly didn't do that, but they,
Because at our school, right, they were a bit worried about what we were going to do. Not because of me, I was quite a well-behaved young fella, but our year level was pretty loose. So they called us in on a Wednesday and said, for an assembly, and said, by the way, that's the end of your schooling. Go home now. Like, they didn't give us any heads up as to when our last day was going to be, so we couldn't have a mock-up day.
Any time you could be graduating.
Yeah, yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. You graduated!
But, they made it sound like, they're like, we'll let you know. So we'll let you know a week in advance or whatever. But they just never did, and then they're like, yeah, right, this is done. It, you're done. Everyone, leave, please.
Wow.
But my sister's class, they had
time. That is such an anticlimax to school.
Yeah, it was weird. But they did, the favour they did do us, because our school, St. Bede's, was across the road from this pub called the Mentone Hotel, or the Edgy.
Mm. Do you have a pub across the road from your high school?
Yeah, and Wednesdays was the big student sort of night there, and they let us finish on a Wednesday. So I reckon that couldn't have been coincidence. They were looking after us.
Off you go. Off to the pub.
Straight to the pub. And I turned 18 that week.
Nice.
It was... Anyway, look, this is...
See, my school let us have a muck-up day, but they were very clever because it was an all-girls school. They scheduled the muck-up day for the same day as our graduation ceremony. Oh. So we all, like... I mean, we still had fun, but nobody wanted to ruin their spray tan or their hair. And then we all left to go get ready, so... We were very well, but I thought that was genius.
Smart.
That is
smart play.
Like, you can have your fun, but you're not going to have a water fight. Like, there's not going to be water balloons because nobody wants to streak their fake tan.
Was fake tan big?
Yeah.
Not real big.
Not for me.
You don't need it. You've got a lovely natural glow.
Very pasty. Natural glow. Anyway.
Remember that product? That was an English woman who used to spruik it on daytime TV. I'm here to sell natural glow. No, okay.
Did she say the word, I'm here to sell?
No, she didn't.
So that's a terrible opening for an advertisement.
Hi.
Turn it off.
Want to buy something?
Because I'm here to sell it.
I've got a shitty product. You want it? No.
Natural glow. Anyway, she was great. What you do is you put it on. There you go. Great. Buy it. All right. But yeah, but my sister, her theme was Millennium Bug or... Y2K bugs. So they all dressed as like bees and different ladybugs.
So they were obviously treating it as a comedy thing.
Yeah.
They weren't worried?
I don't remember having any fear of it. Like I was a teenager in 99. You guys were quite young. Do you have any memories of it at all?
We were 9. No, not really. I remember people being worried about it, but I don't remember even thinking about it. I was kind of like, no, that can't possibly be right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, computers aren't that dumb. I had more faith in computers than in people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think all I remember is that Silver Gear song, Anthem for the Year 2000. That's all I remember.
We'll make it up to you and me. Yeah, I didn't like that song very much. I like Silverchair. Oh, look, we're not going to turn this into a Silverchair bashing session again.
No, not...
Jess, please.
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool us twice. This is not that third time.
Yeah.
But Y2K, I don't know. I know the maybe the basics of it all. Or...
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it.
I didn't really know anything about it. I reckon I had a vague idea, but it was... Anyway, did you know, Dave, I thought you'd like this.
Oh.
Do you know what a numeronym is? Y2K is a numeronym. Numeronym.
Is it sort of like a... Never mind.
How do you, so is it like numero nim?
Yeah, numero nim.
Is it because it has like Y2K in it?
Yeah, it's a word that...
It's like an acronym with a number in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Acronym is what the word I was going for.
And
initialism is what I was trying
to say. In the Wikipedia example page about numeronyms, they mention the word initialism, which is the first time I would have ever noticed... That is a real word, which you introduced us to on this very...
Can you think of any other numeronyms?
They listed some. I can't... K9 was one.
K9,
yeah. Yep.
They did have a whole list on...
Oh, AK-47?
Yeah, there's one. AK.
Cool, there we go. I'm happy I got one. That's all I needed.
Well done.
Jess?
I didn't get one. I never get one.
No. I just wanted you to realise that. So,
what about DB9? That doesn't count, does it?
Yeah.
DB9. I don't know what that means, but
it's
I think
car. Aston Martin.
I think so. You mentioned that before.
Perfect. DB9. Nailed it.
I got one.
Dreamboat 9.
Dreamboat.
Yeah. I reckon that counts.
Great. We've all got one. We can move on. I love that, though. Numero and them.
So the Y2K bug was a problem in the coding of computerized systems that was expected by some leading up to the year 2000 to create havoc in computer networks around the world when the clocks ticked over from 1999 to 2000. This was due to the fact that many computers built from the 60s up to the 80s were designed to abbreviate four-digit years to two digits in order to save memory space.
Oh, right. So it was going to go from 99 to 00.
Exactly. So I'd freak out. So they'd say, instead of saying 1965 when they were designing a program, it would just say 65. Because the reason was that data storage was so expensive back then. Like, even little bits of storage like that would cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
But it does seem, you know, computer people from the 60s, they were always thinking about the future and always predicting, in the year 2000, we'll live on the moon and everyone will have a computer the size of a house. They always have that, but to not even think about how in less than 40 years, that would be a problem.
I talk about that a little bit. Some did foresee it. Anyway, I'll talk about that in a sec. But, it seems pretty crazy now. Don't you reckon that, like, 19, like, digitally, yeah. The numbers 1-9 is like, well, we gotta save space wherever we can.
Yeah, that's like...
Cut costs down.
What is that, the smallest thing ever?
Yeah. Like, I'm just typing into a Google Doc right now. I've just written a whole page 19 over and over again.
What's that costing you, $1 million?
It cost me nothing.
1965.
Yeah. Free. But here in 2016, nothing at all. What absolutely time to be free. Alive. I've just select all, copy, paste, just doubled it. Just still free.
Fuck. You can't be stopped.
I won't be stopped. Here's a quote. Do you guys know Alan Greenspan? He's kind of a big name in American finance. He was the chairman of the Federal Reserve of the US from 1987 to 2006.
Oh, yeah.
I was at high school then
Greenspan.
Doing
yeah.
economics and stuff, so maybe that's why I know his name. But
I was doing drama at high school, so.
Yeah, right, okay.
I know Brecht.
Ooh. Now, that's perked my interest, yeah. Bertolt Brecht. No, please go on about Greenspan. He was obviously a big wig.
Yeah, so he was around that time, but he was a computer programmer. So, in 1998, when the Y2K bug was starting to get a lot of mainstream coverage, he said this. He said, "I'm one of the culprits who created this problem. I used to write those programs back in the 60s and 70s, and I was proud of the fact that I was able to squeeze a few elements of space out of my program by not having to put a 19 before the year. Back then, it was very important. We used to spend a lot of time running through various mathematical exercises before we started to write our programs, so that they could be very clearly delimited with respect to space and the use of capacity. It never entered our minds that those programs would have lasted for more than a few years. As a consequence, they are very poorly documented. If I were to go back and look at some of the programs I wrote 30 years ago, I would have one terribly difficult time working my way through step by step."
So he just wrote a whole lot of stuff and was like, in a couple of years, no one will use this.
Yeah, it's like, it's a computer, as if people are going to still be using this computer program in 40-something years.
True.
I mean, that was why they sort of saw that it could have been an issue, but didn't think that it would possibly, in reality, become an issue.
What? So a lot of these older programs were still being used then, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. The old hardware and software programs. But it's not like, so I think I often was thinking about it like as computers, you know, like laptops and PCs and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I always imagined.
But there's computers in everything, you know?
Yeah, true.
ATMs.
Cash registers.
Oh, of course.
Just
yeah,
like
yeah.
everything and not, they're
everything
not getting changed.
Everything is a computer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everything. Bum, bum, bum.
So people were worried that everything was just going to what? Malfunction.
Yeah, that's right. They thought,
haywire.
Well, So as we got closer to the year 2000, computer programmers realized that some of these older computers would still be in use and that meant that they would represent the year 2000 because they're only... Year 99 is two digits. So when it goes to 2000, they realize that it would either think that it had gone back to 1900 or some computer programs just kept counting up, so went up from 99 to 100, so they thought it was 19-100, like a crazy year into the future.
Right, okay, but would that how would that affect it? Would it just not want to work?
I would just be confused, and maybe the fear would be that they'd either shut down or they'd give wrong results, and it would just like have a chain reaction that would muck up the whole system. So if it was like a cash register, it just wouldn't work anymore. So people can't get cash. So there was a lot of panic around that people after New Year's wouldn't be able to get money anymore. You know, the machines would stop working, and there was like all this crazy panic. And you know, when millions of people all of a sudden want to,
isn't it hilarious how those little everyone just accepts that little piece of paper or now polymer plastic in our country just represents money.
Yeah.
And we just have to agree that I give you this and that equals 100 units of dollars.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't, but I mean, it does.
It's very odd.
It is weird.
When you think about it too much.
The system works, right?
Yeah, it does, but then...
Stop putting ideas in people's minds, Dave.
People were worrying that the system was not going to work and they couldn't get their cash.
Yeah, yeah.
And when did someone first identify this as a problem and it started getting mainstream?
Well, it was press. The first time it was written about was, I think, talked about was in the 60s. First time it was written about was in the 80s, but it was really slow for people the fear to really get going. And that was late 90s. It was only the last couple of years where people were really starting to go, we got to start fixing some of these programs. Start rewriting the bloody program.
Yeah, of course.
So... Some of the places that were affected the most, the Y2K problem was obviously not, as I was saying, not limited to computers running conventional software. Many devices containing computer chips ranging from things like elevators, ATMs.
Oh, trapped in an elevator. Lift,
yeah. Temperature control systems, commercial medical equipment. So, you know, like everything.
Everything is a computer.
Yeah.
But as well as that, and the things that were really making people afraid were like, you know, nuclear warheads. Like, there's buttons around that, you know, in the president's office, just a button gets pushed and shit gets blown up, right? What happens if the program that controls that
just malfunctions and...
Just shoots?
What if the president just slips?
Yeah, that's another thing.
That's another thing. That's not Y2K related. But no, that's a concern of mine.
I often worry about the president's slippage.
On New Year's Eve, the president, like many people, has a few drinks.
Yeah.
What if he or
especially
she
especially at the
slips?
Millennium Eve.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Mm.
Who was in power? Bill. Bill Clinton.
Bill. Big Bill.
Clinton. Oh, and he was a bit of a party animal. Yeah.
He had his saxophone out. Playing Baker Street.
That was Careless Whisper.
Oh, sorry. Careless Whisper.
Thank you, Dave.
I was still thinking about last week's episode about...
221B Baker Street.
B. Baker.
I took my love down to Baker Street.
Is that song connected to that?
I reckon that maybe it's just a catchy thing that Jerry Rafferty, the singer, put in.
Did you know Jerry Rafferty used to be in a comedy duo with Billy Connolly?
What?
No, but I do know that he's the singer of Steeler's Wheel, who sings Stuck in the Middle with You. But was he in a duo?
Not a comedy duo, sorry. They were a folk duo, but Billy, more and more, his little bits of chat in between songs got longer and funnier.
And much better than his folk.
Yeah. I think he played banjo, maybe?
Yeah, he does play banjo.
Banjo, yeah. So I thought that blew my mind when I heard
That's
that.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
A little factoid for you there.
Oh, just a little cheeky factoid. Hello, I'm a little factoid here.
I'll just drop that on the table.
Very tired.
And I'm done.
Boom, and I'm gone.
And I'm gone.
Who was that guy again?
I don't remember.
The boom and I'm gone guy?
Boom, and I'm gone.
I didn't remember either.
That was you doing something funny. I laughed so hard. I think it was in...
And I'm gone. Oh, it was Santa Claus.
Yeah, it was.
Boom,
and I'm gone.
Was that Father Christmas or something?
The original Father Christmas catchphrase.
You want a Tonka truck? Boom, and I'm gone.
Jerry Rafferty?
Banks were one of the focal points of the fear. apart from, you know, ATMs closing down, that sort of stuff, they also rely on computers to calculate interest daily. So, and it would normally, you know, instead of ticking over one more day, it would change interest by one day. But in this case, they were worried that it might change it by minus 100 years.
So people have just suddenly lost trillions of dollars.
Lost or like the bank is owed all this interest from people who's borrowed. And all of a sudden that's just wiped. And maybe it's, I don't know, what's negative interest?
Money.
I mean, none of it. That turned out not to be a problem. But anyway, that was one of the fears. Power plants is another one. They depend on routine computer maintenance for safety checks, such as, you know, water pressure and radiation levels. So not having the correct date would muck these up, these calculations up, and possibly...
Have like a meltdown at nuclear power. Have a meltdown. Power.
So the surrounding areas, yeah, nuclear power or any of the, you know, crazy power plants. Nuclear. Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Hydro.
Hydro.
Mm-hmm.
Coal.
Gas. Mm-hmm.
Coal could just start have been flinging everywhere.
Everywhere.
Oh, we'd be sitting in a sea of coal.
Yeah, that could happen. Happy New Year, Jess.
Yeah, like fuck your
coal house.
Why are you, can you imagine me?
Can you imagine if the wind farms got out of control? We'd be having bad hair days for weeks. Ugh. Be wind everywhere.
Yeah, lots of wind.
Oh no. The wind computer's broke.
Wait, are you making fun of wind power because if in a catastrophe it wouldn't be that bad?
No, I'm making that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that bad because what's that? We live with the wind anyway. Oh no, now the windmill's just going round and round and not doing anything.
I meant more that like wind is another name for farts.
Oh, I didn't get that.
I was on that level as well.
Oh,
I was working
hell.
On two comedic levels.
And you know how much I love an opportunity to make fart noises.
Is that what that noise is you make? I just thought that was just like a negative noise.
Well, it's a bit of both.
Negative farts.
Negative farts.
I never associate farts with
That's like negative interest is akin to negative farts. Negative 100 years of farts.
I think a negative... Negative
oh, no, fart I've lost $1 million of farts.
Sucked in. Sucked in fart.
Oh, you feel that? That's the Dow Jones just going down the shitter. Oh, no. We've lost the NADSAT. Oh, God. Cup that Alan Greenspan, you prick.
Hey, so transportation? Transportation is another one. So you probably... This is one
Can
of the big ones.
Can you please list some transportation?
Okay, transportation. You got...
Aeroplanes.
That was the big one. People feared that aeroplanes at midnight would just fall from the sky.
Sure.
Oh,
that was like
God.
A genuine
fear. Yeah, it was.
Fear.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Yeah.
So, did they risk it and have planes flying?
Yes.
Because I always get a little bit edgy about air travel, as most people do. And I think, I've just booked a trip to Europe and I didn't want to fly back on September the 11th. It just freaked me out. It's the 15th anniversary of that horrible event.
You just didn't want to do it.
I think I am actually. I did take the ticket because it was much cheaper. I was like, well, I'm not going to let that stupid fear cost me $400.
Oh, yeah, no.
But those stupid fears are the best because if everyone's feeling it, you can clean up.
You can. I think that's why I was profiting.
Yeah, sweet profit from terrorism.
Just be
you profited from terrorism.
Oh, my God.
Federal offence.
He's a Nazi sympathiser too.
No. If you listen to the tape, I just said before it was known... Listen to the old episode.
Before Hitler was that bad.
No.
Hitler wasn't that bad.
Never said that.
No, he did that.
He was real bad.
But he wasn't
Jess,
that bad.
That, you know Dave makes me edit out all his neo-Nazi
yeah, it was,
chat.
Oh, God. No, I do not. Everything that we say goes straight to your ears, listeners. Everything.
Including fart bag.
Cop that, Hitler.
That'd be funny out of context. Just fart noises. Cop that, Hitler. You too, Stalin.
I love fart bang. But Matt, you were talking about aeroplanes. I asked the question, were people brave enough to tempt it?
So to show how confident they were that planes wouldn't fall from the sky, the FAA, which is the Federal Aviation Administration in America, Senate's chief, Jane Garvey, on a flight that would be in the air over the midnight hour.
That is the worst assignment because
you it's have a great to be... power play. It's just like people going, yeah, you would say it's okay because...
But then they send their chief.
But then they're going, yeah, look, we'll send anyone.
The chief is... The chief is spending their New Year's on a plane. That sucks, doesn't it? I hope she got some good overtime. Hopefully first class.
Yeah.
She was the chief.
Do you reckon she had a little bit of doubt? No. I would. You'd have a bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, you'd have... Everyone would have a tiny bit.
The worst part would be if just the plane happened to malfunction.
Yeah. It crashed
completely
anyway.
Like, I know, a bird gets in the engine or whatever. That
unrelated,
happens.
Yeah.
Completely unrelated. And then everyone's like, well, birds. There you go.
Night birds.
Like an owl.
Well... Night owl.
Or a bat.
An owl just flying 40,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
You know? But I am interested to hear how Jane went. Did she survive?
She did survive.
Oh, thank goodness.
That flight.
Jesus, disappointed.
That is a, yeah. Sorry, no, I know. I built that up as a, like, that would have been a real fun quirk.
It's like, you got cocky, Jane.
Yeah, that's right. You
now
shouldn't
you're
have
dead.
Rolled the dice.
She may be dead. This is a while ago. The flight...
I hope she's dead.
I'm a fan of Jane. I'm a big fan.
I think she's great.
She puts her money where her mouth is.
Yes.
And I imagine she gets paid a lot if she's the chief of the FAA.
Exactly. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of mouth. So that flight also included a passenger whose life goal was to be flying as the clock ticked over into the new millennium.
That's the world's worst life goal. Look, what do you mean? Imagine, like, if someone said that, I think, like, Jane would start worrying that they were going to just kill everyone.
Yeah.
Clearly, there's something wrong. My life goal. Imagine that. You'd be freaking out, looking at the clock. 5, 4. Sorry, we've changed time zones. 1 hour and 5, 4. It just keep happening.
Yeah.
It'd be really hard to judge.
Yeah, I know. Which computer, like, it all depend on which computer you're worried about.
What if it's just a small domestic flight?
Yeah, it was a domestic flight. I think it was going to Dallas or something like that.
Yeah, if it was like Melbourne to Sydney, you know, fine.
That's my life goal.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But so due to the widespread fears of planes falling from the sky, this lady whose life goal it was a 63-year-old named Janet Rhodes. It took her 3 attempts to book a flight at this time, as 2 earlier bookings were cancelled due to lack of passengers.
She had to book 3 times.
Yeah, she really, really wanted it.
She was like, I'll pay for all the seats.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
She mortgages her house.
She ended up, I think it was only, she was one of 36 on that flight, so it was sort of still a pretty empty flight. People just weren't keen. But until just now, I'm like, yeah, people were afraid. But now they're like, well, maybe they're just doing stuff.
It's also, yeah, it's New Year's.
It's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You'd hope you'd have plans. If you don't, get some friends, you loser.
Yeah, come on. What's her name? Jan.
Janet.
Janet and Jane. What a combo.
I kind of like the idea of, like, if something did happen when the clock went back and thought it was 1900, it was just like the technology just reverted. Somehow it became like a Wright Brothers plane.
Yeah,
something.
They had to all pedal.
Just like that.
yeah, that's what I imagine.
It's open top.
And they're also in like old timey clothes. Yeah.
that's a fun
that's
bug.
That's just magic.
I'm into that, yeah.
That sounds like a Doctor Who episode.
You sound like a Doctor Who episode.
Oh, hey Jess, like, I agree that he needed to be dressed down verbally there in some way, but I think you took it a little too far in this instance.
Sorry, Dave.
Okay, Dave, do you accept?
Well, I will accept it if you give me another fart bank. And we're back.
Oh, that's sweet. That's a really sweet moment.
What a gesture. What a lovely gesture.
Gesture.
What a gesture. Oh. I love that.
This show's becoming worse and worse at bad puns. Or I am, at
or
least.
Or better and better at bad puns.
Did you guys know that there was a telly movie called Y2K to be aired in 1999 by the NBC in America?
That feels like fear-mongering.
It's do you think so? Because it's alternative title. You say fear-mongering. But its alternative title, I think, will
alleviate some stress.
They called it Countdown to Chaos.
That's the thing. They're doing
I'm relaxed.
Right before it's about to happen. Like, if it came out in 2004 or something, you'd be like, yeah, that's fine,
that's
whatever.
Yeah, that's laughable.
Yeah, then you can sort of be like, oh, weren't we a bit silly to be so worried? But happening, like, this is going to happen.
But,
guys,
I mean, one cares about it afterwards, I guess. Nothing happens, it's like, well, what the...
And in
but
the
now
movie...
they look like bigger dickheads because nothing happened.
Yeah.
In the movie, did it...
Well, if they called it Countdown to Chaos, like I don't think it went well, Dave.
It's like that that film, like, what was it called, 2010? And it was about...
Yeah, 2012.
2012. And then it's like, well, that's relevant for
like
about
a Mayan
4 minutes.
Yeah.
That's right. It was the 2012 Mayan calendar. And then it's released just at the end of 2011. And now it's like, well, that's hilarious.
That'll never be seen again.
Well, that dated itself very quickly.
But was the plot of Countdown to Chaos?
Let me tell you, I've written down a review from IMDb from a user called Puffy Luck.
Oh, one of my favorite users.
Yep, they gave it 1 star out of 10.
Oh, I was going to say out of one?
No, no.
1 out of 10.
And wrote this review. I mean, this is like, I think they were personally affected by the movie, and that's maybe why they were so brutal about it.
Ooh.
I was working for Bank X when this movie came out. The corporate officers actually released a statement, and we all had to attend a meeting, letting us know what the movie was about, how it portrayed banks, and how we had to assure customers that things that happened in the movie wouldn't happen in real life. I thought the meeting was a waste of time. Who was really going to come in and freak out about it? Well, apparently half of our customers. We had people ordering money to bury in their backyards. Almost every customer warned
me. Hang on, is that like you ring up and you fill out a form and there's a box where you tick? What are you going to do with this money? Bury it in my backyard.
Yeah,
tick.
I know, that's very specific, isn't it? I'm guessing people were telling her, I need this to bury in my
backyard. Yeah, can I have $8,000 from my account? Oh, you've only got $8,000. Yes, I know, I'm going to bury it in my backyard.
How would you like that? Just in a box.
Just in a box, a waterproof.
Small. No, I mean in like... 20s or 10. Yeah, okay, in a box. All right, gotcha.
Do you sell shovels?
At this bank.
Yeah, that's right. If you withdraw $5,000, you get a free shovel this week.
Ooh, that's a good deal.
Almost every customer warned me to go straight home on New Year's Eve. A lot of people wanted to know if the ATMs were going to be working and when we would start rationing out the money.
Rationing out the money like scraps.
Then she went on to say, or he, I don't know, what's the name? Puffy Luck.
I'm gonna say he.
Sounds like a dog.
He went on to say, it was disgusting that people were this gullible and stupid. He was disgusted by the people.
He was disgusted.
This has nothing to do with the film.
This movie was a waste of time for anyone with half a brain. And the cause of a paranoid breakdown for people dumb enough to believe it. Thanks, NBC, for making the last 2 weeks of 1999 a living hell for me and the other bank employees.
Posted 2009.
Yeah, what
when
a
was
fucking
it, was
lunatic.
It years later that they posted this?
I think it was in 2000.
What a fucking idiot.
That is fantastic, and I want to see this movie so badly now.
Yeah.
It's a telly movie, so was it low budget, famous people? And
I didn't recognize any names.
Freaked out all the banks.
But there was another movie I saw, which was also... I think it was either called Y2K, and it might have been meant to have been a cinematic release. And it was like an army action movie, like the nuclear warheads were going to go off and all that sort of stuff. So, and it had the only guy I recognised in it was Malcolm McDowell.
Oh yeah, from Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
Plays Alex. He's quite old now. Very old.
Yeah, I mean, this was 20 years ago or whatever. Time Magazine interviewed... So, this is another thing. I'm not still talking about that other thing.
I'm so excited.
Have we moved on from the movies?
If you're interested, I'm going to organise a public screening of that film.
Great.
That would be really great.
Listeners, come along.
Let's do it here.
Yeah.
It'd be really fun.
The back, yep.
That'd be really good. I'm in. Time Magazine... There was this great article in Time Magazine from pretty much... Bang on, started 2000. There's some great stuff. So, a lot of that I've used. Time Magazine interviewed a couple named Bruce and Diane Eckhart from Lisbon, Ohio, and who at the time were preparing for the Y2K disaster, and they were actually with them on New Year's Day as they were sort of realizing that...
Oh, what was their reaction?
They were like... they're sort of saying, oh, it seems like everything's going okay, but we haven't heard anything out of Guam, which is a little bit disturbing. Oh, really searching for...
something.
I haven't heard anything from Indonesia.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't...
I've never spoken to anyone from Indonesia
I haven't checked, but still.
It's terrifying. Funny seeing some of the... You know, because I think of 2000, it doesn't feel like forever ago, but you see websites from 2000 and they are like the most basic GeoCities looking things.
Yeah, like you could make something on your phone in 5 minutes that looks better than that now.
Yeah. So I went through, I actually looked up some old websites and stuff about with tips of what to do. And like your cool old school looking website.
That's awesome.
But these guys, Bruce and Diane, they really went all out. They stockpiled 6 months worth of food. They converted all their savings into gold coins.
Oh, you idiots.
They practiced...
In dystopia are we supposed to respect gold?
Yeah, I guess so. People were thinking it was just going to go back to the, you know, the Dark Ages sort of thing. Or not... When's the Dark Ages? Like, well beyond. Like, early man sort of thing.
But when
later than early man, the Dark Ages. Dave, what's the time I'm sort of talking about here? Where gold's valuable and...
Well, gold's always been quite valuable.
Yeah, okay. I was talking about that time. Always.
Pirates.
I'm talking about the pirate years.
The pirates, right.
They practiced firearm skills.
Oh, my God.
They conducted surprise drills in the months leading up.
Wake up! There's only two of them.
Yeah. All right, and a daughter. And a teenage daughter.
Oh, the poor girl. Wake up! Get the gold coins! Get in the bin! They've got a bin. Safety bin.
They had a
get in the bin.
I meant bunker. Shit.
Get in the bin.
Christine, get in the bin. Get in the fucking bin. 38 seconds. We're dead. We're all dead. Well done, Christine. Well done, fucking done.
Done.
Yeah. You've wet the bed again.
They had a quote from
the teenager.
They've scared the shit out of her. Well, let's get the piss out of her.
She might have been a bit younger than a teenager. So I think you know.
She could have shat herself.
She could have shat herself.
Well, we're all susceptible at any time. Yeah. I'm not beyond it.
But the only thing they quoted from her was when it was becoming clear that nothing was happening, she was just like, she was sounding like she was getting sick of it. She's like, well, you know, if it happens, it happens, whatever.
Yeah.
To her mom and dad, and her dad apparently still going, worried about the people from the town across coming and stealing their supplies. It's like strangers are... You know, they've been looking at our supplies and stuff, like super paranoid.
Yeah, because you look like a lunatic.
And the journalist said that the daughter had just been all morning singing along to Sheryl Crow on her Walkman.
I can't even think of one. What's a Sheryl Crow song?
I got a feeling.
I'm not the only
one. Oh my God, you picked that up so fast.
Is that Sheryl Crow?
Yeah.
Is it?
That's Sheryl. Big time.
you bet your gold coins on that?
Sweet Bippy.
Oh my God.
Sweet Bippy.
They also studied basic dentistry and field medicine.
Oh my God.
I was about to say, to this point, it's like, well, it's not that bad. You can convert the coins back. You can eat the food over the next year or so. That's fine. But you've what? Basic dentistry and medicine.
These
people are fucked.
Diane did say that she was committed to eating the heaps of cans of Spam, whether or not there was a disaster.
The thing is, I actually really like Spam. So.
And she was already looking to the bright side because she's like...
On the bright side, I got 6 months of Spam.
And she's got all that food, but she's got...
Spam! I goddamn love the Monty Python sketch. That's like my house.
She's already
thinking. What's for dinner? Spam.
Spam and gold. No, what are you going to say? Sorry. She's committed.
I know she, yeah, so she was, she's, oh, I was really expecting
another. I was going to do it again.
You paused for spam, didn't you? No.
She, I have no idea. What was I talking about?
Spam!
How she was looking on the bright side.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was already saying, well, I've got all this money saved.
And all this spam!
And I've got all this food, so I don't need to spend it on food coming up for the next 6 months. So she was planning on buying a jacuzzi.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's looking at the bright side.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's the truth. But basic dentistry. I mean,
you know what you could fill the jacuzzi with?
Spam! And gold. Spam and gold. What a combo. Ooh.
Gold spam.
I feel like in the future, food would be way more worth valuable than gold.
Yeah. Because you can eat it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the solution to the year 2000 problem, the millennium bug,
right,
the Y2K.
My question is, at this point, we all laugh now, but did it not affect anything because people did something to fix it, or did it just was never a problem ever?
That is still debated.
Oh.
So, like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone laughs, but maybe in the 80s and 90s, people were like, oh, we'll just update those computers and we'll be sweet. Or was it like, no, those old computers are cool.
They're fine.
They're 00, double nine, they don't give a shit. They're a computer. They're fine.
In my head, it was like, at midnight, it was going to be like your vacuum cleaner would turn on and, like, murder you.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just thought.
Yes, I totally
all
thought
computers
kind of
are going to just be, like, robots out to kill you.
Yeah. It's
like, everything in your
house.
They
might be confused about the date, but does that make them homicidal?
Yes.
Well, that was the concern.
Debatable.
Debatable. We'll never know. The Y2K bug was both a software and hardware problem, obviously. So software and hardware companies raced to fix the bug in the, 98-99, and provided Y2K compliant programs to help. It was found that the simplest solution was seen to also be the best, which was simply expanding the date, the year, from 2 digits to 4 digits. And that was like a problem solved. But
it was very simple.
Very simple, but very hard to do. So some of these computers, right, like in an ATM or something, that's attached in to the mainframe of the whole machine. So it's hard to just get in there and you can't change that part. So does it seem clear to you that I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about?
No, I understand. Great, like, I think what you're trying to say is the clock is actually physically inside it. So you have to... It's not just a code that you go. You actually have to change the clock.
Yeah, so it's tricky.
It's
tricky because you have to change what billions of clocks around.
Yeah,
the world.
That's right. So it's just a slow, tedious process, and it was just time consuming. In the years leading up to the turn of the millennium, I keep saying that, but it's not quite 100% true. But anyway, I'll keep saying until I correct myself later. In the years leading up to the turn of the millennium, tech teams worked to fix the issues. In America, there were worries that the public sector was lagging behind, as they tend to do, bloody public sectors, am I right? And a Y2K preparedness survey was commissioned in late 1998 by a New York computer industry consulting firm, and that showed that among the 13 economic sectors studied in the US, government was the least ready for Y2K.
The government was the least ready?
Yeah, what do you reckon the highest, the sector rated highest for preparedness was?
Definitely horn industry.
The horns? Definitely military.
The horns?
Software industry.
Software. Oh, they put that themselves first. Yeah, I thought because they were always obsessed with... Where did horns come on the list?
In Britain, military was ready well ahead of time. Horns, they did... The horn sector somehow was left out.
But the military in the UK were fine.
They got onto it really quickly, and they put out... they were saying that we're ready if the local police and stuff struggle. The military's ready to come in and help out in case
just
of emergencies.
Just kill everything.
Yeah, just kill everything that walks.
Vacuum cleaners, small children, we'll kill them all. The direct quote from the military.
Yeah, from the military.
This is from Britannica. Worldwide, an estimated $300 billion was spent to upgrade computers and application programs to be Y2K compliant.
That's a lot of cash.
As the first day of January 2000 dawned, it became apparent that the computerized systems generally were still intact, and reports of relief filled the news media. These were followed by accusations that the likely incidents of failure had been greatly exaggerated from the beginning.
Oh.
And that those who had worked in Y2K compliance efforts insisted that the threat had been real. So
they're saying, oh, no, we fixed it.
Nothing happened because we fixed it. And other people going, yeah, you made a lot of money fixing all these things, right? It's sort of a bit self-serving.
Yeah, that does make sense. But then there's other people that are like, I studied dentistry for this.
Yeah.
I feel like a right idiot.
That's the real cost. That wasn't even taken into the $300 billion.
I feel like they could sue.
So, yeah, so these...
Is that picking up, Draco? Is that a dog?
Maybe it is, yeah.
Who are these dogs? Who are you?
Low dogs.
Absolute dogs. Yeah, we can keep going.
So they maintained that the people who were working on the solution. People who were working on the solution maintained that the continued viability of computerized systems was proof that the collective effort had succeeded.
So they were like, hey, nothing happened because we spent $300 billion.
That's right. And in following years, analysts. Fuck. In following years, some analysts pointed out that programming updates that had been part of the Y2K compliance campaign had improved computer systems, and that the benefits of these improvements would continue to be seen for time. We're going to do it in that weird voice. I have to say the words in order. Where was I? Hang on. In the following years, some analysts pointed out that programming updates had been...
Spam!
That seemed fine.
In following years, some analysts pointed out that programming updates that had been part of the Y2K compliance campaign had improved computer systems, and that the benefits of these improvements would continue to be seen for some time to come.
Some unspecified time.
So... For the most part, everything pretty cool, but there were a bunch of minor problems. There was one problem, one issue that happened, which is kind of a bit fucked. I'm sort of tossing up whether to talk about it or not. But some of the minor problems, National Geographic report. Did I say Geographic?
Yeah, you did.
Some of the minor problems. National Geographic reported that in the end there were very few problems. A nuclear energy facility in Ishikawa, Japan, had some of its radiation equipment fail, but backup facilities ensured that there was no threat to the public.
So thank goodness. I was worried.
That could have been really bad. The US detected missile launches in Russia and attributed that to the Y2K bug, but the missile launches were planned ahead of time as part of Russia's conflict with the Republic of Chechnya. And there was actually no computer malfunction.
They were just genuinely bombing the shit out of Chechnya.
Yeah, that was real bombing. That was no mistake.
So,
no.
Like, there's bombs, like... America...
That would be the perfect excuse.
Yeah, it is a great excuse. Oh, no.
Whoopsie.
Whoops, we've bombed Chechnya again. Yes, we did that the last three weekends, but this was a Y2K, whatever you Americans call it. Thank you. This is Russia. Bye.
Out. Russia out. Japan's largest mobile phone operator reported on the 1st of January 2000 that some mobiles were deleting new messages received rather than older messages as memory filled up. So I don't remember that being a thing, but sounds like it would automatically delete the oldest messages.
No, I would remember it having to say, it would say memory full, delete old messages. You have to go through and think, oh, I don't need that anymore. Oh, I want to keep that moment. You don't have to like sort of think about your favorite messages.
Yeah. I didn't have a mobile phone in 2000. Keep messages. Maybe that's how it used to be.
Yeah.
Maybe they were weird like that back then.
I wouldn't have got a phone till like 2003.
Yeah, I was about the same, I think.
I got 2002, I got a mobile.
Ooh, early adopter.
Oh, yeah, I was big into it.
Is it because you had to, like, how did you get to school in high school?
I got a phone for my birthday because I, my 12th birthday, because it was also an MP3 player before pretty much existed.
Wow.
It
had enough memory
to have like 13 songs on it.
It's like an early iPhone. Early
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I got one in, 2003, because I wanted one because all my friends had them when I was in year seven, and my parents wouldn't get me one because I lived a 5-minute walk from school, so I didn't really need one. Like, if I'd got lost, or not lost, but like if I was stuck at school or something, just walk home. But then my brother bought me a phone because he's cool.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, my brother gave me a phone. That's really
cool. I remember being like, yeah, everyone's doing it.
You would have been like 20.
Yeah, I was like 20 when I got my first phone, I reckon.
God. You were 20 when you got your first... Isn't that hilarious?
That's so funny.
Yeah, I reckon I was an adult. I was at uni, I reckon.
And you didn't want it for a while?
I was like...
You thought it was a fad?
Stubborn sort of guy, just like, well, I don't see the point. I don't see the bloody point, mate.
But now...
No, he can't keep you off that thing.
Yeah, sorry. In the US school system, one district reported that some water heaters had to be turned on manually.
What a crying shame. I thought it was going to be reported that some heaters had to be turned on and off again before they fully heated up the room.
Mm.
So they had to be turned on manually. What, one time?
Yeah,
and then,
I guess.
And they were just fine.
No, I think they had to be fixed. So from then on, they had to be... Look, I'm reading the one sentence that I read about it. So
That would be annoying.
I enjoyed it as a sentence. If you it was just like on a list of things that happened. It's like, well, you're really struggling to scrape together a list here, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I had to turn on a heater. So, I mean, I have to do that every morning anyway. It's just a heater you turn on when you get to work. But
this time I was doing it in the new millennium.
This one's slightly bigger, but not really. The US Naval Observatory, which runs the master clock that keeps the country's official time, in America, obviously,
what?
Gave the date on its website as 1st of January 19100.
It did do it.
Yeah. This date error also occurred on a bunch of other websites around the world, including a French weather forecasting service.
Classic French weather.
Mm.
What year? What is that year? That's a long time away. That's
19100.
It's 17,000 years away.
17,000 years away.
It will be one day, the year 19,100, whether or not anyone's still on the planet.
No,
or if the planet exists.
We'll be well and truly gone by
but
then.
But time will still continue to exist.
Yeah, well, isn't time made up, though?
Does time
exist when we're not here?
Too
if tired we made
for
it
this
up?
Conversation.
Well, time still passes, but like the fact that it is the year 17,000... It's the date is just when you've started counting
time.
But
time's kind of been invented by man, right? So if man's not here to count time, does time really exist?
Oh, my God.
I think time continues to pass, but you just don't have an anchor for when you started counting.
Oh.
Agree to disagree.
Fair enough. Well, we'll find out in the year 19,100.
I don't know what I'm talking about there. Again, in America, the Y2K bug seemed to turn youth into senior citizens, which is a bit weird.
What?
There were reports of sexual assault on an 83-year-old woman by an 80-year-old man, and two missing youths of ages 83 and 84 were among the flawed reports given by the faulty system, which caused the system to read year 2000 as the year 1900 and interpret the year of birth of the parties involved as their ages.
Oh, okay. They were born in 83.
Born in 83 and 80, yeah.
That makes sense. Well, it doesn't, but okay.
Yeah, I don't, like, why does this, I don't understand why the system goes, I'm confused. let's
just make it up.
Let's choose a thing. This one, out of the whole list I read of things that, happened. This one is an actual... This is fucked. But I'll read it and we'll see. In Sheffield in the UK, the Y2K bug resulted in incorrect Down syndrome... In Sheffield in the UK, the Y2K bug resulted in incorrect Down syndrome test results being given to 154 pregnant women.
Oh, wow. Incorrect in which way?
In both ways.
Oh,
that's awful.
So it led to two abortions being carried out. Incorrect.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, there you go. So there was actually genuinely bad stuff that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
We all laughed, but wow.
No, I know. When I, like, it was sort of like all these silly things.
Yeah, most
like,
of that sounds so trivial.
Fucking hell. I'd never heard about that.
Neither have I.
That feels like that should be this story of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's probably, I imagine, the worst thing you're going to say.
Yeah, that's the worst thing I found by a long way.
Whoa.
Real bad.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Yeah, pull it back up from there.
Fuck, yeah. Where do you slot that in? It's hard to find a spot for that. You can't end on that. But nah, anywhere else you've got to recover from. Yeah,
you're tune in next week.
So, the question, as you were saying, Dave, before, was all the money and panic worth it? We've already talked about this. There were two camps. I'll read it and then I'll figure it out.
Great.
There are two camps. The first argues that there were not many problems because of all the work that was done. And then others say that the problem was overstated and the lack of major catastrophes. And the lack of major catastrophes meant that it was a waste of time and money. As an example, actually, no, wait, let me do this and I'll be able to use it. So, Dave, as we were talking about before, was all that money worth it or not?
$300 billion.
Wow. Saying how there's sort of the two camps. Some saying, yeah, all the money spent meant that the problem was fixed and that's why we got through it. And other people saying there were no problems and that's because there were no problems and it was a waste of money. But this, and there's still arguments going either way about that ongoing in pubs around the world. It's not true. But this... I feel like this illustrates something, maybe. Countries such as the US and the UK spent billions of dollars. The US spent about half of that, $300 billion themselves, combating the Y2K problem, and they ended up having very few issues.
Okay.
Alternatively, countries such as Italy, Russia, and South Korea had done very little to prepare for Y2K, and they also had very few issues.
So they didn't spend the billions and they still got away with it.
Yeah.
Italians.
I think they're like,
we'll be right.
I think the Russians did spend quite a bit, but like a tiny fraction of what America spent. And I think South Korea and Italy maybe spent very little, if not hardly did anything at all.
Couldn't be bothered.
Well, maybe they're just like, you know, whatever.
Let's just see what happens.
Cool. So that's pretty much the end of the report there. I don't think this is even really worth it. Here's a couple of things about that I found that weren't really about the bug in while I was reading that I kind of liked, but...
Chuck them in.
I'll chuck them in and we'll...
Let's see.
I wouldn't call them fun facts and they're not even about Y2K bug, but they're sort of about Y2K. The Jerry Springer Show had a special to celebrate the Y2K.
Celebrate?
To celebrate the pending doom.
And it was called... Y2 Lovers, and it was an episode in which people were confronted by both of their lovers.
Incredible.
That is...
And that is an incredibly fun fact. How dare you preface that with, it's not a fun fact.
They definitely booked the guests and then went, oh, fuck, we should do a Y2K
that's
special.
Great.
It's a pretty sweet
pun. Y2 Lovers! Great. There's like, oh.
They should have gone Y2K and then found a guy who'd slept with 2,000 women.
Oh, yeah. Or just two Ks. Two women named K.
Yeah, nice. That would have been better because 2,000 women's a lot of women.
Yeah. Not if you're Gene Simmons.
We just got like Y2J Jerry Springer. Y2 Jerry Springer.
Oh, and have a second Jerry Springer on.
You know what? This is 16 years too late. All these wonderful
this
ideas.
This meeting.
Damn it.
We should have been there. Should have been there.
A Silicon Valley hospital gave its first baby, born in the new year, a share of Yahoo stock and 5 shares of Silicon Graphics.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow. Is that worth a lot of money now?
I don't think so. 1 share of Yahoo. It's just a weird thing to do.
Oh.
Good on you, hospital. It's worth a lot of money now.
Would it be? Probably. Let's assume that 16-year-old is very wealthy.
Is Yahoo even that good? It would have been better if it was Google or Apple. Then you'd be stoked.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, probably. I imagine early days, Yahoo, that's a long time ago.
What have they done now?
They're still around. They partnered with Channel 7 in Australia.
What are they doing? Nothing.
Nothing.
Fuck off, Yahoo.
They won that court case against Yahoo Sirius, where he was trying to sue them for use of his name.
Are you serious? Sorry, I couldn't commit to that. He really did that.
Yeah.
And they, he lost.
Classic
he lost.
Yahoo Sirius.
Oh, dear.
Finally, this one is not at all fun, but I found it very interesting and I did not realise it. Apparently, 2001 was actually the start of the new millennium.
Oh.
Not the year 2000. And the reason why the third millennium started in 2001 is because there was no year zero. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagined you would. So there was no year AD zero, and there was no year zero BC. So it went from AD one. It went from BC one BC to AD one. So the year zero was skipped. Therefore, January 1st, year one is defined to be the start of the first century and the start of the first millennium.
What are the years called when... Never mind.
But I don't think even those years were around at that stage, were they? Dave, would you know that? Were they going, well, this is year one? I think it was retroactively done.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they didn't just change it. Yeah. Surely.
Well, listen, I'm ending on a real hard fact here.
But it's just like when you say the 15th century is actually the 1400s.
As a kid, that really...
It's because there's no...
Yeah, you should have finished on the Jerry Springer one.
I can do. We can cut all this out. Should we?
No, I'm kidding.
You're a fucking cunt.
What?
Such language. All right, let's finish. I mean, that's... So, yeah, that was my little report. Thank you so much to Marcus for the suggestion.
Marcus. Good job, Marcus.
Feel free to message in Marcus. I wonder if, because I don't know if he wanted the topic because he knew a bit about it and wanted to see what we'd talk about it, or if he knew nothing and just wanted to find out. Either way, I apologize.
I found that really interesting. I didn't know much about it. It's something that I lived through, but I know. Jess and I were 9 at the time, so you don't really
passively
know.
Passively accepted.
And it always seemed like a bit of a joke, and I don't know. Was it a joke, or did they just make it a joke by spending lots of money on
Maybe
it?
Maybe our parents were secretly really scared, but they stayed really strong for our benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no memory of any fear at all. And I was, you know, I was like a real person.
You were old.
I was in a double digits.
You were super old.
Like, odd.
You were nearly... You were so old.
You were nearly
basically dead.
Yeah. You're practically dead.
I would have been trying to almost grow beards, I reckon.
Oh, yeah. Cool, man.
Oh, fuck you. Get out of my house.
That's the end of the pod. If you want to get in contact like Marcus did... Did he email? Is
that how he tweeted.
Tweeted at DoGoOnPod. DoGoon Pod. We take note of all those tweets. We love them when they come in. Email DoGoOnPod. Or one word at gmail.com. Facebook, you can message us there. Do go on. We're about town.
Do you just find us in the street?
Find us in the street, but get on iTunes and give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, a bit
whether late. Or not you mean it. It doesn't matter to
just
me.
Just do the 5.
We'll and write a little message. I fucking love the messages.
Love the messages.
That message that that guy wrote about, like, cereal and stuff.
So great.
It made me lol out loud.
Yeah, well, we won't read it out here, but it's very funny. It
stands for laugh out loud, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, well, that's what I did.
But you lolled out loud? You laughed out loud?
Yes.
You dickhead.
Well, if you want to laugh out loud as well, we won't read the review out, but that's a bonus. If you go in there and give 5 stars, while you're there, read some of the old reviews, and there's a particularly funny one that
they're all very
goes on quite good. For a long time. So we do enjoy that a lot. Thanks so much, Matt. We'll be back next week with you, Jess.
Ooh.
Rocking the mic. Right.
What are you going to talk about? Tell us. Give us a scoop. What are you going to say?
Oh, my God. Shut up. No. I'm not going to tell you. It's a surprise. Oh.
That's the way I like it.
Uh-huh.
Hey, can I make a request?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. You can make one to me.
Neapolitan ice cream. What's the deal with that?
What's the deal with strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla?
All right.
Where did that come about?
I can talk for an hour about that.
Together at last.
Bananas in donuts.
No, some sort of culinary-based one. Matt's taking the headphones off. That means it's the end of the show. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you next week. We'll talk to you next week. You know what I mean. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Laters.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/ upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.